This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a juz a day. Today we are going to be covering the seventh juz of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, that is something that we have. That's something that we've been able to cover together. Alhamdulillah, and it's a great blessing of Allah that we've gotten this far, and we ask Allah to allow us to get to the end of our study, inshallah. The seventh juz of the Quran begins with ayah number 82 of Surah Ma'idah. So it's Surah 5, ayah 82. It ends with Surah 6, ayah 110. So it spans two surahs, the end of the fifth surah, Surah Ma'idah, and most of the sixth surah, Surah An'am. But it does not complete Surah An'am. The rest of it is in the eighth juz, which we will cover tomorrow, inshallah. Let us look, though, at the first ayah of this beautiful juz, ayah number 82. And this will set the table for us as we discuss and study this juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا الذين لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا ولتجدن أقربهم مودة للذين آمنوا الذين قالوا إنا نصارى ذلك بأن منهم قسيسين ورهبانا وأنهم لا يستكبرون. Ayah 82 of Surah Ma'idah. Let me display the screen with the translation for you. You will find the bitterest in their enmity to the faithful are the Jews. You will find that the bitterest in their enmity to the faithful are the Jews and the polytheists. And the nearest in affection to them are those who say we are Christians. That is because there are priests and monks among them, and because they are free from pride. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. When they listen to what has been sent down to the messenger, you see their eyes overflow with tears because of the truth they recognize. They say, our Lord, we believe, so count us among those who bear witness. And why should we not believe in God? And in the truth that has come down to us, we yearn for our Lord to admit us among the righteous. And for their words, God will reward them with gardens through which rivers flow, wherein they shall abide forever. And that is the reward of those who do good. But those who deny the truth and deny our signs will become the inmates of the fire of hell. This is the passage that introduces or that begins this juz. This passage, as you can see, speaks about the Christian community. Okay, it makes a comment about the animosity that historically the polytheists and the Jewish community have had and have expressed to the Muslims. It makes a comment about that. It also makes a comment about the Christians. And this is not talking about the crusading Christians. You know, those were brutal people. You know, they would pillage and destroy. It's not talking about the colonizers who would think as their oppressed subjects as subhuman, right? It's not talking about those kind of Christians. It's talking about the Christians who were gentle, who their spirit was gentle, and their practices was of a people of kindness, right? And they are, as Allah says, they're qissisina wa ruhban. They're priests and monks. People who would, monks are those who would dedicate themselves to the worship of God. Priests are those who would dedicate themselves to the study of the word of God. And they are free from pride, right? That is the group of Christians that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, and specifically those you find them close in affection to the believers. Okay? This is a very interesting passage for many reasons. Number one, you see here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising in the Quran us, another faith group, a faith group that is not Muslim. These are Christians. قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. And this is something that we find in the Quran. The Quran praises praiseworthy characteristics. And here, these Christians demonstrate praiseworthy characteristics. And for that, they are praised. Alhamdulillah. In fact, you find this in another surah of the Quran, in surah number 57, ayah number 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very similar about the followers of Jesus, those righteous followers of Jesus. He says, we gave him, i.e. Jesus, the gospel, and imbued the hearts of those who followed him with compassion and mercy. Subhanallah. And we did not prescribe monasticism for them, warahbaniyah. You know, this was not something that Jesus taught them, but this was their own innovation by which they sought to please God. Very interesting. So this passage, ayah number, surah 57, ayah 27, and then this one here with us today, surah 5, ayah 82. Number one, it praises the Christian community for positive characteristics that you find among them. And this is something the Quran does, and this is something that we are to do when there is someone who has a positive characteristic or a community that has a positive characteristic. We are to praise them for those characteristics, and there's no need to belittle or no need to downplay their goodness. Here the Quran clearly mentions that. So that's point number one. Point number two is that this actually was a passage that was revealed about a specific group of Christians. It's mentioned in the books of Tafsir that nazalat fi wafd al-Najashi al-qadimina alayhi min al-Habasha. This is a group of Christians that came from Abyssinia, modern day Ethiopia. They had come to visit the Prophet ﷺ because the Prophet had sent some of his followers to stay with them, with An-Najashi. And he had, you know, told them to seek refuge there with this just Christian king, okay? And seek refuge there against the persecution of the people of Mecca. As they are staying there, they're telling the people of Mecca, the people of Abyssinia about Islam. In fact, Najashi himself becomes Muslim. So these people are now coming to meet the Prophet ﷺ. They're Christians, but they've seen Muslims and they're interested in knowing what's up. And when they reach the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ recited to them Surat Yasin, فَبَكَوْا وَأَسْلَمُوا. So they started crying and they accepted Islam. And they said, this is so similar to what the message of this Quran is, so similar to what Jesus brought, and that was something that moved them. And this is what's mentioned in this passage, ayah number 83 here, that when they heard and they listened to what has been sent down to the messenger, you see their eyes overflowing with tears, right? So point number two, this is a historical group who came to learn about Islam from the Prophet ﷺ, who were Christians, and they accepted Islam in a very beautiful way. And this very beautiful thing is, the point number three is about the, the experience of faith. Experiencing faith, in a way that is, there's no words to describe it really. The only emotion that it evokes is the emotion of such overwhelming joy and happiness that tears start to flow from a person's eyes. It's a beautiful experience, a really humbling, a really cleansing experience. And this is something you find the Prophet ﷺ praising about righteous believers, that the person who is crying out of fear of God, out of love of God, out of conviction of God, that is a person who has, that's a beautiful action to do. And here we see this again about these people as well, that they recognize the truth and they are overwhelmed by it and they're crying. And number four here is that they accept. They're like, look, there's no reason for us not to accept this truth. So they accepted right away and became Muslims. And what's interesting is the Quran says about them that for their words, God will reward them with gardens through which rivers flow, right? They didn't even have to start working and doing actions of Islam. Just the sincerity of their words was so powerful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, affirmed their reward and wrote them among the righteous. I mean, how amazing is that? This is a very unique instance. The Quran usually say, you know, the illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat is good deeds and, sorry, iman, faith, and then good deeds. But in the case of these people, it didn't even need the good deeds because their iman and sincerity was so strong. It was like a guarantee almost that they would go do good deeds afterwards. So that was something that's very, very remarkable how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in this passage. Okay. One of the things that, if you remember, Surah Ma'idah, we spoke about, it's the concept of fulfilling our commitments, our contract with the people and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of our contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is we are faithful people to Him. We are devoted to Him. And part of that, as believers, is we don't make things, the things that are halal, we don't make them haram. And vice versa, we don't make things that are haram into halal. This is a abhorrent practice. Make something haram into halal is really bad, okay? But making something halal into haram, right? Something that's permissible, restricting it is also very bad. Okay, and the Quran says this very clearly. لا تحرموا يا أيها الذين آمنوا. Again, this is an address to the believers. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to focus with our minds, listen with our minds and our hearts. Oh, believers, لا تحرموا طيبات ما أحل الله لكم. Do not forbid the wholesome good things which God has made lawful to you. ولا تعتدوا. Do not transgress. إن الله لا يحب المعتدين. Because God does not love those who transgress. This could be, do not transgress could be a emphasis to the previous to the previous sentence. You making something impermissible is transgressing the bounds. You see, it could also just be generic, wala ta'tadu, don't transgress. But it seems like, and it, you know, it seems like this do not transgress is an emphasis of the previous command, which is you making something that is wholesome and good, that Allah has made halal, into haram, is you crossing the lines. Okay? In fact, what you should do is, وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. Eat the lawful and wholesome things that Allah has given you, and fear God in whom you believe. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Okay. The surah then moves on to speak about a very important ayah number 90. A very important ruling about intoxicants. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. As you notice again, begins with Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe. Innamal khamru wal maysiru wal ansabu wal azlamu rijsum min amal ash-shaytan. Fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. O believers. Al khamru, which is intoxicants. It's an alcohol, but anything that is in the same category as alcohol, something that intoxicates your mind. Wal maysiru. Maysir is gambling. It is something, any instrument of gambling. Okay. Wal ansabu. Ansab here, it translates as dedication of stones. I don't even know what he's meaning by that. In the books of tafsir, ansab is described as al awthan, the idols. Idols that a person would worship, obviously, but even just the concept of having idols and sculpted idols, that itself. That, wal azlam, and azlam is divining arrows, a way to, arrows that would be used to attain some sort of divinity. What's the closest and parallel to this today? Because we don't use divining arrows. Astrology is a close parallel to Islam today. Astrology, believing how the movement of stars somehow affects our life, which is completely ridiculous and completely has no basis in Islam or in reality. Right? It has no logical correlation, and Islamically it's completely abhorrent because you're giving the power that is Allah's to some creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the stars. So you could say here, Islam is referring to astrology and believing in these kinds of thoughts. All of these things, okay? Alcohol, gambling, idols, astrology, these are rijsum min amal ash-shaytan, abominations devised by Satan. Ritz is something filthy. It's filth. It's from the work of the devil. مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. Completely stay away from it. It says avoid them, because avoid them in English seems like, you know, if you can, avoid it. It's not an accurate translation, unfortunately. And I'm choosing to comment on a translation so that you can also sometimes maybe see that translations are not accurate. اجتنب, it's from the word jump. It's to stay, like be on the side of something. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ, completely be on the side of it. I completely stay away from it. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may prosper. This is a very important ayah. These are things that we consider to be rijsun. They are filth, either physically or spiritually, or both. And these things are from the work of the devil. Okay, think about it. Alcohol takes away our intelligence, or subdues our intelligence, makes us say things or do things that are completely ridiculous. Drunken stupors are just, you know, that's exactly what they are, right? It makes a human being into a shell of what they should be. Allah has honored the human being. Alcohol is dishonoring them. Maisir, gambling. What does gambling do? It's a zero-sum game. One person's going to win and one person's going to lose. And gambling has an addictive quality. When you get addicted to it, you lose track of it, double or nothing, triple or nothing. And next thing you know, you have lost everything on a whim. Okay, it's a very dangerous, very, very dangerous thing. And even without the addictive, if you just even ignore the addictive nature, the fact that it's zero sum, right? That is a problematic aspect. In Islamic transactions, when you are doing business, the business should be mutually beneficial. Both of parties can benefit from it and enjoy its good. But if the benefit is exclusive to one has to win and one has to lose, that's a problematic transaction, and this is part of that problem, right? It's min amal shaytan. It's from the work of the devil. It creates animosity. Okay, what the ayah says, yuridu shaytanu an yuqi'a baynakum al-adawata wal-baghda. Satan seeks to sow enmity and hatred among you by means of wine and gambling. And that's what it does. Idols are you know, an abomination, are filth, because these are lifeless things that people assume or have assumed and do assume as somehow having powers, okay? And that's a very, very terrible thing. And the same thing about the stars and astrology and whatnot, ascribing powers to them or fortune to them and luck, that is completely, it's complete bogus, number one. And number two, it's you're giving... you're putting, basically, like you're letting something control you, and it's a very bad thing. That is min amal shaytan, a work of the devil as well. Okay, so this is what that mentions. Fahal antum muntahun, will you not stop? And when this ayah was revealed, the Sahaba very, very quickly abandoned alcohol. They threw away all the alcohol they had, and completely, it was like an overnight abolition. And you compare that to the abolitionist movement that took place of alcohol in the mid 20th century in America, and people were bootlegging and doing all sorts of random things. But in Islam, because the foundation of Iman was built, immediately they were able to give up alcohol, even though they were just as addicted to it as a culture as any culture in the world. But because the foundation was built, that's how they gave it up. And this is the key lesson here for us. Okay, there's a few things here also. وَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَحْذَرُوا. Obey God and obey the messenger, and be ever on your guard against evil. If you turn away, then know that our messenger's duty is only to deliver the message clearly. It also mentions a little bit, or gives a hint about people who are struggling with addiction. Those who believe and do good deeds will not be blamed for what they may have consumed in the past, as long as they fear God and believe in him and do good works. So long as they fear God and believe in him. So long as they fear God and do good deeds. You see how that expression repeats? إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا. It seems like the ayah is hinting at people who are struggling, giving up the addiction of alcohol. If they give it up and they struggle through it, they will not be blamed. The sin will be wiped away. The sin will be wiped away. Because Allah loves those who do good. Allah is Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. He's ready to accept the action of the good doers. And this is a lesson for us. Whatever addiction a person might be in, if they are able to work towards breaking it, a bad addiction, an evil addiction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe the slate clean completely. And he understands that we're struggling to try to break through, and this is important. And this ayah is one of those ayat, ayah number 93, that speaks about that. Some other important rulings. This one is an interesting one about hunting during ihram. While wearing ihram, going to Hajj and Umrah, hunting was not allowed. This was an interesting thing. Interesting ruling. It doesn't apply to us today because nobody really hunts. They just go and buy fast food. But this was a problem for the Sahaba because they would hunt on their journey. And this was a tough thing. But they were patient with that test. And this was, again, a test to see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, and the opportunity to sneak in a quick hunt is there. But would you be on your guard? That is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested for them. Ayah number 96 speaks about, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِلسَّيَّارَةِ. To hunt and eat fish of the sea is lawful for you. Okay, so an exception to the rule was you can hunt if you're on a boat, because you could starve to death, right? You could run out of supplies. You can, if you were traveling on land, you could stop somewhere and you can buy, you can trade, you can go to like an oasis, you can plan your trip accordingly. If you're on the open waters, you might starve to death if you're not allowed to hunt and you've run out of food. So that was given a permissible, that was made permissible. Ayah number 96. Also, what's interesting is ayah number 96 speaks about generally seafood. Seafood is all halal. All seafood is halal, and you can consume it. You know, there's some of the scholars of the Hanafi position, they consider some seafood to be not recommended, but everybody accepts it to be permissible. You're not sinful in eating anything of that comes from the sea. So, alhamdulillah, that is a good thing. If you like seafood, this ayah is now your best friend. All right. It speaks about the when it comes to fulfilling our commitments, yes, our commitments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the things is there's good culture and there's bad culture. There's good culture and there's cultural baggage that people bring in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights that. Ayah number 97, God has made the Kaaba, the sacred house, a means of support, as well as the sacred month and the sacrificial animals with their garlands. That is so that you may know that God has knowledge of whatever is in the heavens and on the earth, and He is fully aware of all things. Ayah number 97. This is talking about how the haram is a sanctuary, is something that even the pagans acknowledged. Yes? And whatever good of that was brought into Islam is good culture, because that was a culture of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The rituals of Hajj and Umrah, when the Prophet, it was not the Prophet didn't start them. He purified them. He removed the false practices and took it back to the practice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that's good culture, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, the sanctity of the Kaaba in that aspect. Then the example of the bad culture is ayah number 103. ما جعل الله من بحيرة ولا سائبة ولا وصيلة ولا حام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not ordained any sanctity to these animals. Bahira, Saiba, Wasila, Ham. What are these animals? Different superstitions that the pagans would attach to animals. Oh, here's an animal. They would cut off his ear, and then would say, okay, now it's haram to ride this animal, and it becomes sanctified. These kind of random ideological beliefs that they would have, that was something that has no bearing on reality. It has no sanctity. That's the cultural baggage that we're supposed to shed. Stuff that does not have anything to do with the text, with the scripture, that is something we leave behind, because that is an invention of, and it's falsehood, particularly when I'm speaking about theology here. Okay, what Allah says in this ayah, ayah 104, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. When it said to them, come to what God has sent down, and to the messenger, they replied, the faith that we have inherited from our fathers is sufficient for us. You know, what's wrong with this? This is good. We go to a grave and we do, you know, make tawaf around the grave. This is good, right? That's a good man, righteous man. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ Even though their forefathers knew nothing and were not guided, right? This is an example of, you know, cultural practices that are evil, that would seep into the religion. And the Quran makes a distinction. There's cultural practices of the Arabs that became part of the religion, as I mentioned to you about Hajj, right? But their source was from Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the Prophet salam, you know, accepted that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that. And then there were other practices of the Arabs that were completely out of bounds, complete falsehoods and inventions against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were rightfully highlighted here to make the point to us clear that our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is we commit to the faith and we bring the good aspects of our culture to the faith, but we leave cultural baggage to the side and take the Quran and Sunnah as they are pure and wholesome. Okay. The next a few ayat, again, as you notice, a lot of Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. They're speaking a lot about certain rulings. This is a ruling about what happens to a person at time of death. And you know, there's a lot of fiqh that's involved here about that. But then we move on to the concluding part of this surah, which is ayah number 109. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلَ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ A scene from the Day of Judgment. And what a scene this is. And it will actually circle back to one of the important characters in this surah, which is Isa alayhi salam. We spoke quite at length about Isa alayhi salam yesterday, about how he was, how this surah makes the case of him not being God, right? And him being dependent on Allah and being dependent upon food to sustain himself. He's not God in any way. Okay, he's just a human being and a great prophet. But today, the scene shifts to the Day of Judgment. The day when God assembles the messengers and asks them. I'm going to actually read this fully without some commentary. I'm going to comment at the very end. When God assembles the messengers and asks them, what was the response you received from the people? قالوا, they said, they will reply, we have no knowledge of it. You alone know what is hidden. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ اذْكُرْ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَتِكَ Then God will say, Jesus, son of Mary, remember my favor to you and your mother. How I strengthened you with the Holy Spirit. تُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا So you could speak to people in childhood and maturity. وَإِذْ عَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ And how I taught you the book and wisdom. The Torah and the Gospel, and how by my leave you fashioned from clay the shape of a bird and blew upon it, and so that by my leave it became a bird. And you healed the blind and leper by my permission, and when you brought forth the dead by my permission, and how I prevented the children of Israel from harming you when you came to them with clear signs, when those of them who denied the truth said, In hadha illa sihrun mubin. This is sheer magic. وَإِذْ أَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِي وَبِرَسُولِي Remember the time when I inspired the disciples to believe in me and in my messenger. They replied, آمَنَّا We believe. وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّنَا مُسْلِمُونَ And bear witness that we have submitted. إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ When the disciples said, O Jesus, son of Mary, Can your Lord send down to us from heaven a table spread with food? هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَن يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ قَالَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ He replied, Jesus replied, have fear of God if you are true believers. قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا They said, we want to eat from it. وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا So that we may satisfy our hearts. وَنَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا And know that you have told us the truth. وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ And that we should be witnesses of it. قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا أَنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ Jesus, son of Mary, said, O God, our Lord, send down for us a table spread with food from heaven. تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا وَآيَةً مِنْكَ So that it may be a feast for us. For the first of us and for the last of us, a sign from you, give us sustenance, for you are the best of sustainers. قال الله إني منزلها عليكم. God replies, I will certainly send it down to you. But whoever of you denies the truth thereafter will be punished with a punishment such as I have never meted out to anyone else in the world. This was the last few days of Isa. But you notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke firstly. He started, the scene is in the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on this tangent. Remember when this happened? Remember when this happened in the world? Remember when the disciples believed? Remember when they said this despite their belief? Remember this, O Isa? Now Allah says, if qala Allahu ya Isa, when God says, Jesus, son of Mary, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as two deities besides God? This idea, by the way, of Mary being part of the Trinity is actually something that predates the Pauline theology. And even Hail Mary, right? That Hail Mary prayer is you praying to Mary. Yes? Praying to Maryam. Okay? Have you said... And by the way, the current form of the Trinity was agreed upon much later. So this is perhaps in reference to earlier Christian theology. Did you anta qulta lin-nas ittakhidhuni wa ummiya ilahayni min dunillah? Did you say to the people, take me and my mother as two deities besides God? Qala subhanaka ma yakunu li an aqula ma laysa li bihaq. He will answer, glory be to you, how could I ever say that to which I have no right? How could I ever say that? If I had ever said so, you would surely have known it. You know what is in my mind, while I do not know anything that is within yours. Innaka anta allamul ghuyub, you are alone the knower of the unseen things. Ma qultu lahum illa ma amartani bihi, I told them only what you commanded me to say, which is an i'budullaha rabbi wa rabbakum, worship God my Lord and your Lord. I was a witness to what they did as long as I remained among them. And when you took my soul, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ, you were the watcher over them and you are the witness of all things. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ, if you punish them, then they are surely your servants. It's your right. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and if you forgive them, surely you are mighty and wise. قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ, God will say, this is the day when the truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. They shall forever dwell in the gardens through which the rivers flow. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ, God is pleased with them and they with him. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and that is the supreme triumph. And indeed, لِلَّهِ مَا مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا فِيهِنْ, the kingdom of the heavens and the earth and everything in between them belongs to God alone, nobody else. Lillahi, this lillahi coming before mulku samawati in the grammar makes it exclusive. Only to Allah is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth and nobody else. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. This is the passage at the very end, a very beautiful passage that has many, many incredible lessons, but I'll mention to you quickly two of them. Number one, Isa alayhi salam, right, is interrogated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, like all the other prophets, as you notice in ayah number 109, when God assembles the messengers and asks them. The messengers are going to be asked, as we'll see in surah number 7, surah A'raf. But here you see that in an example, how Allah will ask the prophets, did you say this? Of course he knows what they said and what they didn't say. But this is the fulfillment of justice. This is for the record. This is for everybody to see on the Day of Judgment. If the prophets are interrogated, they're interrogated because their job was to convey the message. If they didn't convey the message, the people who were the recipients of the message can't be held responsible. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first verifying. Did you convey the message correctly? Yes? Okay, then you turn to the people. And then see how many of you actually believed and lived up to that message. So that's point number one. Point number two is if the messengers are interrogated. You think about that. What about the rest of us? All of us also are going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment. What we pray to Allah for is our questioning is not an interrogation. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our questioning quick and short and sweet and lets us go and overlooks our mistakes the many, many mistakes that we've made. That's what we pray for. Number three here is Isa alayhi salam beseeching Allah, right? I said two things, maybe I'll add a third one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beseeching Allah that I, you know, it's your right to do what you want with them. And that shows you he is a prophet of Allah. He is not the one granting salvation to anybody. Okay. That is Isa alayhi salam. There's a nice parallel here. If you look at the beginning of the surah and the end of the surah, we try to do that, you know, most of the times here. If you look at the beginning of the surah here, surah number 5, what you will notice is the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, fulfill your obligations, right? That's the idea of truthfulness, right? You're truthful and you fulfill your obligations. And here at the very end, the day when the truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. If you kept your commitment, you kept your promises, you kept your word to Allah and the people, then on that day, that truthfulness will come back to benefit you. And that will benefit you in the way of gardens through which rivers flow and eternal pleasure through Allah being pleased with us. Radiallahu anhum. That's the ultimate pleasure. Wa radu anhu. And they are with him. That is the supreme triumph. Dhalika huwa al-dhalika al-fawzul azim. So that is surah number 5, Surah Ma'idah, a very beautiful surah. As you notice, the name Ma'idah came from this ayah, right? Anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama. Table spread of food. Okay. Next up for us is Surah An'am. Surah An'am is a Makkan surah. Okay. Now, all the surahs before, excluding Surah Fatiha, Surah Baqarah number 2, Ali Imran number 3, Nisa number 4, Ma'idah number 5, were all revealed when the Prophet ﷺ was in Medina. Okay, this is a surah that was revealed when the Prophet ﷺ was still in Mecca. Now, why is the difference? What's the significance there? The significance is the audience is different. The audience in Medina includes believing, you know, Sahabi, right? People who are Sahaba, who are believers. It includes hypocrites, people who are pretending to be Muslims. It includes the Jewish community who are, you know, also in the audience. It's not like they're just like, okay, we have nothing to do with him. We're on our own and he's on his own. No, they're also in the audience because they're listening and they're commenting and they're, you know, plotting and planning accordingly. And the Christians are in the audience. Mm-hmm. A whole host of people are in the audience. And you see the surah, the surahs addressing each and every one of these audiences, you know, according to the time and place. In Mecca, there is only one primary audience, which is the home tribe of the Prophet ﷺ, Quraysh. They are the primary audience. Of course, the Sahaba, the Muslims of Mecca are also in the audience. They're also from Quraysh, right? But the primary audience is those people, the polytheists. And it is a way to give them evidence and assurances to believe in Allah alone and to leave the idolatry, to believe in, number one, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Three major points you will see mentioned in Makkan surahs generally, but here in Surah An'am specifically. Worship of Allah alone. Don't worship other idols or deities. Don't ascribe divinity to anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the concept of revelation and messengers. The Makkans rejected this idea. They're like, what is this? You know, how come he's a man and he's walking around and he thinks he's a prophet? It's strange, right? He has to be a superman for him to be a prophet. So that for them was a like almost like a mental block. So the Quran addresses this a lot. Revelation and messengers. What is the concept of messengers and what's the idea behind revelation? The third thing that's really heavily focused is resurrection, being brought back to life again and being held accountable. You would notice that like the Jewish believe in that, the Christians would believe in that, for example, but the pagans did not believe in that. The Qurayshi Makkans did not believe in this. So the surahs that are revealed in Mecca heavily focus on this topic as well, that you would be brought back to life and you will be held accountable. The surah begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur thumma alladhina kafaru bi rabbihim ya'dilun. Praise be to God who has created the heavens and the earth and brought into being darkness and light. Yet those who deny the truth set up equals to their Lord. No one is able to do that. No one can, none of these idols, no human being can create, yet people set partners or equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can anyone be equal to him? Okay. The concept of creation and resurrection, they're very closely related, is mentioned. هو الذي خلقكم من طين. He has created you out of clay. ثم قضى أجلا. Then decreed a term for you. وأجل مسمى عنده. And a term known only for him. ثم أنتم تمترون. That yet you are in doubt. This is referring to our creation and our original creation. من طين, from clay, is actually referring to the creation of Adam. Because as the Quran mentions in other places, as human beings were created, min ma'in dafiq, from a fluid water, that's a reference to sperm. Yes, how, you know, the sperm is, you know, fluidly moving. That's a reference to that. So we're created from that process, of course. Okay, but our father, right, the one that who we take our, you know, human form from, the original source of our DNA was min tin, from clay, subhanallah. So that's the creation. What's the resurrection? The resurrection is وَقَضَى أَجَلًا. We're going to live for a certain bit of time until أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى, the time of death. And this is an important thing. The Quran mentions creation and resurrection together a lot to show that the creation, the purpose of it is not to live in perpetuity. And yes, always it's there and never declines. The idea behind the creation is it has, you know, the stage of weakness and then it attains strength and, you know, completes maximizes its being, and then it declines and then it dies. Okay, that cycle of life is observed everywhere, and that is a sign that this world is finite. It's going to end, and there's going to be a time where we will be brought back to life. So this is a very important part. The people of Quraysh had a very bad attitude towards the Quran, the pagans of Mecca. Every time a sign comes to them from their Lord, they turn away from it. Okay, and what would they say? They would mock. And they would make fun, just like the people before. Okay, and they have rejected the truth whenever it came to them. Yet more news will come to them concerning about what they have been mocking. They would say, for example, "لو نزلنا عليك كتابا في قرطاس فلمسوه بأيديهم." لقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين. But even if we had sent down to you a book written on parchment, a physical miracle, it's descending from the sky, right? And it's there, and they would touch it with their own hands, they would still deny it. They're like, no, this is sihrum mubin. This is really very, very awesome, you know, witchcraft. This is sorcery of the highest order. Okay? وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ. Say, why has an angel not been sent to him? Why is he a man claiming to be a prophet, receiving revelation from God? Okay. Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا مَلَكًا لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. This is a very important thing. If he send down an angel, the matter would be settled, and then they would not be granted any respite. What does this mean? That means if an angel was to come down, the angel's not coming down to give you da'wah. The angel's not coming down to say, hey, I'm an angel, believe in Allah. Okay, the angels coming down with the punishment of God. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. When angels would come down like this, in this kind of a manner, they would come down with destruction. So what are you asking for exactly? And this attitude of constantly seeking a physical miracle is actually a telltale sign of disbelief. They won't believe in anything unless it is like a supernatural event. And that is the crux of the problem. The problem isn't how come he's a man, how come there's no angel, right? The crux of the problem is you don't want to believe because you don't want to change. You want to enjoy life. That's the real thing. The messengers have been mocked before you. But those who scoffed, were overtaken by the very thing they scoffed at. وَلَقَدْ اسْتُهْزِيَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. This is the way of people, you know, throughout time. They would mock the messengers. Ayah number 10, right? And Allah says, look at the world, travel around the land and see how people have met their end. Ayah number 12 says, كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Despite all these stern warnings, Allah says, He has taken it upon Himself to be merciful. He has mandated on Himself mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite these stern warnings, these ayat are very stern, very tough ayat. Bear in mind also that this surah was one of the last surahs revealed before the Prophet migrated from Makkah to Medina. So it's been about like a decade plus of the Prophet preaching to them and inviting them. And more than that, 40 years of the Prophet before that, exemplifying the most perfect character. And these people knew him like nobody else knew him because he grew up around them, right? So this tough, stern language is now at the very end of the line, not in the very beginning of the revelation, okay? But still Allah mentions that has mandated upon himself to be merciful, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike his creation, okay? Shall I take as my protector someone other than God, creator of the heavens and the earth, who feeds all and is fed by none? This is the key difference. He is the one. فَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. He isn't the one. He is sufficient. He is self-sustaining. He is independent. We are dependent. We are not self-sufficient. We need the oxygen that we breathe. We need everything. We're dependent on every little thing around us. We need it to survive. And the amount of things that have to go right for us to be comfortable are even more. Yes? So this is the idea. وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. That's why we're dependent beings. That's why we're the servants. And that's why He is the Lord of all the servants. Okay? Ayah number 27. We're going to skip a little bit to ayah number 27. That speaks about... Ayah number 27 speaks about scenes from the Day of Judgment, right? It shifts the narrative a little bit to the scenes from the Day of Judgment. Sorry, one sec. Let me just want to make sure I didn't skip something here. Yes. Okay. Actually, before ayah number 27, let's actually look at this ayah number 25. I knew I was missing something here. Alhamdulillah, I didn't want to miss that. The Qurayshi people were also living like a bit of a paradoxical, contradictory lifestyle. On the public front, they were like, hey, how can he be a messenger? What's up with him, right? But privately, وَمِنْهُمَّ يَسْتَمِعُوا إِلَيْكَ. They would listen to what the Prophet ﷺ had to say. They would very carefully observe the Prophet in his private life. They would even, stand outside his house at night and listen to the Prophet recite the Quran at night. Okay? Because they were fascinated by it. They were totally, completely blown away by it. But Allah says, despite their attraction to the mesmerizing nature of the Quran, the message never seeped their hearts, never entered their hearts. Why? وَجَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّا. We placed veils over their hearts and deafness in their ears, which prevent them from understanding what you say. Subhanallah. And they have reached a point that even if they saw all the signs, they would not believe. And when those who deny the truth come to dispute with you, they will say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. This is just ancient fables. This is just something you made up. These are stories of the past. It's got nothing to do with reality. But very interestingly, in their private lives, they would be very much attuned to what the Quran is saying. The Quran shifts the scene to the Day of Judgment. What's going to happen on the Day of Judgment? A scene from that. If you could only see when they are set before the fire, they're standing and about to enter the fire hell. What a traumatic situation. They will say, Ya laytana nuraddu wa la nukadhiba bi ayati rabbina. If only we could be sent back. If only we got one more chance. and then we would not deny the signs of our Lord, and we would be of the believers. Too late. بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. The truth they used to hide will become all too clear to them. Look at that. They knew it. مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ. They used to hide it. They knew there is something about this man. They knew what he's saying makes sense. They knew he is the truthful one. الصادق, الأمين, the trustworthy. But there were other ulterior motives that stopped them from believing. And that, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. You know, the same thing would repeat. If they were sent back, they would return to what they had been forbidden to, or what they were forbidden from. They would return back to their old lifestyles. For indeed, they are liars. They say, there is nothing beyond our life in this world. We shall not be raised up again from the dead. Remember the idea of resurrection, right? Messengership, right? It's worshiping Allah, believing in the messengers and revelation, and then resurrection. Here comes resurrection. Okay, he says nothing in this life. We're gonna live and die, and that's it. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ. If you can only see the moment when they're standing before the Lord, resurrected, brought back to life again. قَالَ أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ. He will ask them, "Is this second life not the truth?" This is obviously, insult to their injury. قَالُوا بَلَى وَرَبِّنَا. They will say, "Yes, by our Lord." But at that time, believing in it is too late, because you're not. It's not belief anymore. Now you see it with your own eyes. You're living it. It's too late. Belief is you accept it based on evidences without having seen it. That's what it is. We don't see Allah, but we have so much evidence of Him. We believe in Him as our Lord. But if you see Allah and then you're like, yeah, I see Him. Yep, He's definitely there. It's not Iman. That's not faith. He will say then, taste the punishment that comes from having refused to acknowledge the truth. Subhanallah. What a terrible, terrible situation. Okay. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes of them. The Prophet ﷺ did not enjoy them, them being this way. The Prophet ﷺ wanted them to believe and to become better and to, you know, like really accept this faith. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. We know that what they say grieves you. It hurt the Prophet ﷺ very deeply when they would say things about him that were wrong, that were fallacious, that were things that before they used to love him and now they're calling him a liar, a madman, a sorcerer, this and that, right? The Prophet ﷺ, it really deeply hurt him. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ. It is not you that the wrongdoers are rejecting. Rather, it is the signs of God that they reject. This is very interesting. If you see people hating you because of your Islam, because you're wearing hijab, right? Hijab, all of a sudden you'll be totally fine. It's actually not you. It's what you represent. It's the faith that you are espousing. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. This is what the Prophet felt. This is what we feel too, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is, he's consoling the Messenger in this way, and he's consoling us by extension as well. Okay, look at this. وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Ayah number 34, other messengers have been denied before you, and they bore the rejection and persecution steadfastly until our help came to them. Right? They were patient. Messengers before, they waited, they were calm, collected, until Allah's help came. وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. There is no one who can change the words of God. Meaning, the same thing will happen again. You will also be helped, O Prophet ﷺ. Like, this is a Meccan ayah. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't know what's going to happen in Medina, right? He doesn't know he's going to fight battles and win battles. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, people before you, messengers before you, were mocked, they were hurt, and they remained patient, and Allah helped them. And Allah's words don't change. So Allah will do this to you as well, O Prophet ﷺ. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِنْ نَبَإِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. For us as well, right? We will, as long as we're patient, we're steadfast, we, trust in Allah, Allah's help will come. The words of Allah don't change. وَلَا مُوَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. No one will change the words of God. So this is that. Now, the Quran turns and answers the question about miracles. So like, hey, how come he's a man? How we need to see something supernatural. We need to see something like like a supernatural thing, you know, like someone throw a pillow from me from the sky and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, there's God now, right? Something completely out of the world for me to believe. وقالوا لولا نزل عليه آية من ربي. Ayah number 37. Why has no sign been sent down to him from his Lord? قل إن الله قادر على أن ينزل آية. Say, God alone has the power to send down a sign. Of course he can send down a sign. He can send down something supernatural if he wanted to. ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون. But most do not understand. But here is the real sign. وما من دابة في الأرض. There is not an animal that moves about on the earth. ولا طائر يطير بجناحيه. Nor a bird that flies with its two wings. إلا أمم أمثالكم. But they are creatures like you. Not a great translation. إلا أمم أمثالكم. They are communities like you. They are the diversity of Allah's creation. If you were to study it, if you watch like Blue Planet or something, your mind will be boggled by the incredible creation of Allah and how they live and how they survive and how their communities, how they function together. It is absolutely like incredible. Just study how the birds migrate, right? Like, subhanallah. That ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء. We have left out nothing in the book. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of everything. And then to your Lord, they shall be gathered. This is such a beautiful reminder by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, if you want to see a miracle, look at Allah's creation all around you and you will see the signs of Allah everywhere. But you have to be looking for Allah to see them as signs of Allah. If you don't want to be looking for Allah, you're happy with your life, you're like, hey, you know, this life is good enough for me. And then all of that is just, you know, background noise and nothing more. And then even a supernatural miracle will not change anything for you. Because you would say, you would try to explain it away some way. And that's what the Quran is saying. The people of Mecca, you would explain away a miracle, or many miracles the Prophet showed you. But the ones who are looking for the truth all over the world, at all times, would arrive at it actually by looking at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's the ultimate sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 42 says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. Tests and trials from Allah are a way of Him reminding people of who He is, right? Like His power, His majesty, and, you know, their place as well. They are subservient to Him. Okay, look at us right now with COVID. We're helpless. Like, we're helpless. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. He sends these reminders to us to remind us that we are dependent beings on Him. Okay, and this is one of those ayat that speaks about that. Ayah number 42. Okay, ayah number 50, the Prophet ﷺ is described. Again, the idea of what a messenger is. قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. Say, I do not say to you that I possess the treasures of God. وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكُ. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. Nor do I know the unseen. وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكُ. Nor do I say that to you that I am an angel. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. I follow only that which is revealed to me. Again, the concept of what is a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining that. He's a human being. He does not know the unseen. He is not an angel. He does not possess supernatural powers. He cannot just like, you know, wave a magic wand and destroy you. No, he's a human being who follows what's been revealed to him. He has received revelation. He conveys it. He follows it. And that's what a messenger is. Explains a very beautiful explanation of what a messenger is, you know, here. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Are the blind and the seeing alike? Can you not think? Here again, the idea of blind here is somebody who is unable to see and the one who is able to see. These two are clearly not equivalent. They're exactly the opposites, right? The one who understands this clearly is like the one who sees. The one who is blinded by their own ambition or their own desires or their own prejudices is like the one who can't see, right? And they're not the same. وَأَنذِرْ بِهِ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ. Warn by it those who fear to be gathered before their Lord. Again, the fear of knowing Allah is the one who is brought this into existence. It cannot just randomly exist the way it exists. And then this one has the power to give us a purpose in life and then hold us accountable as well. That fear is the driving force for righteousness and piety. And that's the right driving force for people to accept Allah as their Lord and the Prophet as their messenger. Warned by it, those who fear to be gathered before their Lord when they will have no guardian nor intercessor besides God, so that they may become God fearing. Okay. Ayah number 52 mentions that the followers of the messenger, this was an excuse for the disbelievers. They would say, well, the Prophet, look, this slave is following him, and this another like slave or ex-slave is his follower. You want me to sit with them? وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدُعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهًا. It's a disgusting attitude. The Prophet ﷺ is told, do not send away those who call upon their Lord in the morning and in the evening, seeking only His grace, right? Don't do that. If you were to do that, فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. If you were to turn them away because they are seen as insignificant in society, you will become unjust, O Prophet. Don't do that. In fact, these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these people are like these arrogant mushrikeen of Makkah, the arrogant people of Quraysh, the leaders of Quraysh. They would say that these lowly ones, they're the ones that God has singled out for His favors, before us. That does not like that, like they would, they're so full of themselves, they can't see beyond their own noses. And that attitude, that kind of arrogance, is what prevented them. The Prophet said, "Al-kibaru batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nas." Arrogance is to reject the truth. You know something is right, you still say no, it's wrong, because it doesn't sit well with you. Wa ghamtun nas, and to look down upon the people, thinking you're better than them. That you're so full of yourself, you think that you're better than these people, just because of how they look, just because of how they dress, or just because of their socioeconomic status. That is why these people were, they couldn't stand that. And this was an excuse they were using for disbelief. How can we believe in the Prophet when Bilal is his follower? Okay, the Prophet, how about you kick these people out and then maybe we'll believe? That is not, you don't dictate these terms. Allah is the one who tells, He's the one who sets the terms. We accept the terms. Okay. Ayah number 59 mentions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something very beautiful. وَإِنْ عِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. He holds the keys to the unseen. None knows them but He. He has knowledge of all that land and sea contain. No leaf falls without His knowledge. Nor is there a single grain in the darkness of the earth, or anything wet or dry, but is recorded in a clear record. وَلَا رَطُبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Subhanallah, keys of the unseen are with Him. هُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. He is the one who puts you to sleep at night, gathers you in at night, and He knows all that you do by the day. And then He raises you up during the day so that an appointed term may be completed. Meaning, you go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, you go throughout your day, you go to sleep, and that cycle repeats and repeats, repeats until an appointed term is completed. The appointed term in the Quran here, ajalum musamma, is your day of dying. Okay, again, the life cycle of life, right? Creation and resurrection, both mentioned together. Don't just get caught up in life and forget about your end and the purpose of your life that comes after you have been resurrected from the dead. ثم إلى رب إليه مرجعكم. Then to Him you shall return, and He will declare to you all that you used to do. This is ayah number 60 that gives us that understanding, some of the great signs of Allah, why He should be worshipped alone. He is the one who is the absolute master over His servants. And He sends forth guardians. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. Angels that protect you, guardian angels that protect us from things that happen that are hurtful, right? This is something Allah does to protect us. But when death comes, the وَفَتْهُ رُسُلُنَا, angels also come and take our souls, and they never fail in their duty. This is the system of Allah. And that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about here. In this surah, Surah An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam, ayah 74. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ أَزَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَا. This is an important part because Ibrahim is mentioned with his father, and Quraysh, their claim to fame is that they are the progeny of Ibrahim. Yes, they are the kids, they're the you know, the descendants of Ibrahim. That's their claim to fame. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning Ibrahim alayhi salam in a very beautiful story. Do you take idols as your gods? I see that you and your people have clearly gone astray. In this way, we showed Abraham our kingdom of the heavens and the earth so that he might have certainty of faith. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا When the night descended on him, he saw a star. He said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, I do not love things that set. Then the moon, similarly. Then the sun, similarly. And then when the sun, you know, set, he said, my people, I disown all that you worship besides God. I have submitted my face. I have submitted myself fully in single-minded devotion to Allah only, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and I am not one of the polytheists. SubhanAllah, this is the idea here. Ibrahim al-Islam, this is not the first time he's seen the sun or the moon or the stars, but here now he's trying to figure out all of these things that are around us. What is the purpose of these things? Who has brought them into existence? How are they in such perfect order? Can they be in perfect order without someone being there to watch over it? That is what he is exercising in his mind. And that's what he's trying to get his people to think about, right? That only Allah, the one who has put this whole thing into existence and in such perfect harmony, he's the only one worthy of worship. If I can take a couple of minutes to just wrap up here, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salam, this was the reasoning that Allah gave to Ibrahim against his people, right? There was an element of logic and reasoning there, first and foremost. Not just, you know, scripture. This is the idea. Ayat are outside the book and ayat are inside the book. And the hujjah of Ibrahim, the evidence that Allah gave to Ibrahim was his explanation or his calling to reason to the ayat around him. The creation of Allah. And that's what we have to be studying to be more convinced of Allah's magnificence and his power. Okay? نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَّن نَشَاءُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ And we gave him Isaac and Jacob, each of whom we guided as we had guided Noah before. And among his descendants were David and Solomon and Job and Joseph, Moses and Aaron. And thus do we reward the righteous. And Zechariah, Yahya, John, wa Isa, Jesus, wa Ilyas. It says Elijah here, but Ilyas, I think, is different than Elijah. Okay. Wa kullum min as-salihin. Wa Ismaila and Ishmael, wa Yasa'a, wa Yunusa, wa Luta, Jonah and Lot. I think also wa Yasa'a is not exactly Elisha as in the Bible. But it's okay, we'll take the transition how it is. وَكُلًّا فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ We favored each one of them above the other people. وَمِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ وَإِخْوَانِهِمْ And also from their forefathers, their offspring, their brothers, we chose them and guided them to a straight path. That is the guidance of God. ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ He guides through messengers throughout history. Remember, one of the themes here is messengers. Revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving examples. All these great people were great messengers. That's how God guides people. He chooses who he chooses who's the messenger. And then through the messengers, he delivers his guidance. Those are the ones that Allah has given them the scripture and wisdom and prophethood, right? And if these people reject it, Prophet Sallam, don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to another group of people who will not reject it. And that's the people of Medina. That's what is foreshadowing this ayah. Those are the people. Those prophets are the ones. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ So, follow their guidance. Follow their guidance. This is the rule for us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has picked these messengers as guides. So, we follow them. And one of the things the Prophet says, I ask you for no reward for this, right? He's not in it for money. There's no ulterior motives. His only intent is, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُوَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ Last bit, and I'll leave you to study this yourself, inshallah ta'ala, is the last part of the juz, is some beautiful signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his creation, all over. Remember the surah, right, is a Makkan surah. And see how it's emphasizing the oneness of Allah, and recognizing Allah's oneness and his magnificence and power by studying the creation all around. And then the creation leads us to the idea of resurrection. Look at this ayah or this passage. It is God who splits the seed and the fruit stone. He brings forth the living from the dead and the dead from the living, right? Living from the dead here is the idea that the seed is dead and living comes from. it, right? And the dead from the living similarly. That is God. How then can you deluded turn away from the truth? He is the one who causes the break of the day. Faliqul isbah. He has made the night the time for you to rest and made the sun and the moon to move in a precise measure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set this thing up for us, right? He set the system up for us for as long as we've been alive. He is the one who set it up for us. He is the one who has allows the creation of the circumstances for us to live and thrive. That is the measure determined by the Almighty, the All-Knowing. He is the one who's made the stars as a way for you to be guided, right? Because you can use the stars as a compass, right? Through the darkness of the land and the darkness of the sea. He is the one who has brought you forth from a single soul and given you a place to stay in life, and then after that you die and you go into your grave. He is the one who sent the water from the sky, and from it produces all types of vegetation, green foliage, clustered grain, date palms out of a sheet, bunches of dates hanging low, vineyards and olive groves, pomegranates. You know, they are mushtabihan wa ghayra mutashabih, alike yet different. Subhanallah, same water, same soil, they're similar but different. How unduru ila thamarihi, look at the fruit as he causes it to grow and ripen. In that there are signs for a people who are looking to believe, how the fruits grow, how they bloom, subhanallah, and yet people make associates with God. That's, you know, that's subhanahu, hallowed he be sanctified above what they ascribe. Look at this ayah, and we'll end with this. Badi'us samawati wal ard, ayah 101. The originator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who has brought it into existence from nothingness. Anna yakunu lahu walad. How could he have a son? Walam takun lahu sahiba. When he has no consort, when he has no mate, when he has no wife, how can he have a son? وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. To the contrary, he is the one who created everything. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And he knows everything. So these are evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives about himself in this beautiful surah. I said the last thing, but I need to show you this one. Right? That is your Lord, ayah number 102, the one who created everything. So that's why you should worship him alone. He is the one that cannot be contained. لا تدركه الأبصار. Cannot be contained in our vision. But he is the one who is fully containing all people's visions. He is fully encompassing everybody and everything. But he cannot be encompassed. He cannot be limited. He is beyond that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, inshallah, we will stop. Jazakumullah khair, everybody, for giving me a little bit of extra time to finish up today. I'll see you all next tomorrow, inshallah. Same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum.